written by Gareth Foley, produced by Kimberly Poole and Hole with a Rock Rabbit Productions. Stay tuned for the author's note at the end of the episode.
The Grand Marshal stood silently on the bridge of his ship. Presently, they were in orbit above the planet Solum II. One of his aides, seated at a computer console, beckoned him over. The Grand Marshal lumbered his large, bulbous body over to the computer console screen. Here was presented to him a simulation of the planet's surface and a solitary red dot. A sour grin appeared on his face as the dot's color grew in intensity. They had found it. His mission would finally be over. The Grand Marshal was a highly decorated officer of the Churul. He had fought at the glorious battle for Earth, and they had won. Their superior forces gave them the edge in wiping out all human life on that planet. His people were able to take over that miserable planet and make it their breeding ground. But several small human ships had managed to escape the battle. The Churul High Command had ordered that all humans should be hunted down and destroyed to ensure that there would be no resurgence. Many Churul headed out into the universe and systematically wiped out every single human they came across. Now it was the Grand Marshal's turn. He had been hunting down this lone human ship. They fired upon it when they entered Solum II's planetary system. The tiny human vessel was crippled and nosedived straight into the atmosphere of the planet below. The Grand Marshal knew that the red dot on the screen before him indicated that the human pilot was still alive. His aide now pointed at another part of the screen. This showed that the atmosphere was too warm, lethal levels of heat, for the Churul attempting a landing party.
What can we do?
We need someone down there, the Grand Marshal muttered.
Stacy Platt had not been sure where she was headed when she left Earth. Her orders had been to go and find assistance in any form to help their forces. The one thing she never expected was to be pursued for several light years by a Churul vessel and then to crash into the base of a large mountain. She slowly looked over the shattered remains of her ship. The damage was too severe to allow the ship to fly again. The nose had completely crumpled into the ground and the thrusters were burnt out. It certainly looked like she would not be getting off the planet anytime soon. Looking around the immediate area, all she could see were trees, tall and yellow, with no other signs of life. She then noticed the second sun appear on the horizon, and quickly realized things on the planet probably came out when it was dark. She knew she had to be prepared for when the night came, so she set about retrieving items from her ship. First, she carefully removed her gun from the cockpit and placed it on the ground. She then set about trying to remove the radio so she could call for help once she was away from the crash site. Stacy's numbed fingers tore at the ship's wiring. Eventually, she got through to the radio parts and began to tug heavily to move the unit out of its housing. It was proving stubborn and would not move, so she wrapped her arms around it and used her legs for leverage. This time, the radio did move, and so did she. The sheer force she had used caused her to fall out of the cockpit and land heavily on the ground. She closed her eyes as she took the pain of the impact. Quickly, she opened her eyes and was confronted by a red figure who stood over her, pointing her gun at her. She immediately rolled to one side and cast down the radio she was holding. Her body was now upright and poised to move instantly if needed. The red figure simply stood there, holding the gun. She then noticed that the red figure had a yellow, almost metal face with two round, white eyes. He was dressed in a long red cloak.
"This yours?"
the figure asked, holding out the gun. Stacy was at first taken aback by the fact that this figure appeared to have a mouth that was part of the metal mask. She gingerly reached forward, pulled away the offered gun, and placed it in her holster.
"Yeah, this is mine."
"You come from the sky?"
"Who wants to know?"
"Sorry, where are my manners?"
The figure offered his hand.
The name's Key Formwexler.
Captain Stacy Platt, Earth Space Corps.
Stacy carefully shook the offered hand.
Earth?
Formwexler considered, and then quickly he glanced at her.
You're a long way from home.
If I still have a home. Formwexler walked around the remains of her ship. His hand brushed some dirt hanging onto the thrusters.
This won't fly again. Need a lift?
You have a ship?
Formwexler's mask split into a wide grin.
The Grand Marshal had made his mind up about the course of action he wanted to take in this situation. He saluted as three ships blasted off from his vessel. He knew their mission and what was at stake. He knew conditions were unpleasant, probably deadly on Solemn II. But as always in these situations, he had to do what was needed. A tear slowly ran down his cheek, and the three ships disappeared into the upper atmosphere of the planet.
Wexler led Stacy through the yellow trees and into a clearing. Here sat a large ship. It was a dirty gray and looked very clunky. The thruster area appeared to have been completely rebuilt. Stacy spotted engines from about four different vessels, all attached to the ship's rear.
It certainly looks like your ship's built for speed.
She is that.
Formwexler smiled. The side panel in the ship hummed silently open.
Welcome, Key.
An electronic voice greeted them.
Who was that?
Stacy asked, taking a slow step back, her hand going for her gun.
It's okay. It's just the ship's intelligence program.
Intelligence program? I thought they were only a possibility. Where are you from?
Formwexler beckoned her inside.
I'm not taking another step until you tell me who you are.
Then the sky filled with the sound of thrusters firing. Stacy and Formwexler looked up and watched as the clouds parted to reveal three Chirul ships. One of the ships started to veer wildly in the sky and crashed straight into a section of the Yellow Forest.
Guess that pilot couldn't take the heat.
Stacy realized she was now in a fight or flee situation, and from their ground position, it did not look good. Quickly, she turned and ran into the open door of Formwexler's vessel.
I thought you might.
And he hurried after her. As Stacy entered the vessel, a blue light appeared and began to run along her body.
What is this?
Just a bioscan to check for infection.
Formwexler stated as he hurried to the ship's cockpit. The blue light ceased, and Stacy ran after him. She entered the cockpit and was amazed at how run down it seemed. Formwexler pulled on the large hammer-like lever in front of him, and the ship's engine started up. The noise was deafening. As Formwexler's vessel ascended, the two Chirul ships headed straight for it.
Vessel's closing in!
This is not good!
His ship rocked as two laser blasts hit them.
Nope, not good at all!
You got any weapons on this thing?
Takes a while to heat up.
Then get us out of here!
Before Formwexler could reply, another one of the Chirul vessels started to drop from the sky and crashed into the planet's surface. The other vessel hung silently in the sky for a few seconds before it quickly rose out of the upper atmosphere.
They're leaving!
Formwexler fully powered up his large ship and pushed it forward up through the sky of Solemn II, out of the planet's atmosphere and into space. As they arrived into the dark blackness, it was here that Stacy caught a metallic glint from the horizon of Solemn II. A dark shape began to rise up. She recognized it instantly as the Grand Marshal's ship.
We have to go.
It's okay. That's what we're doing. I can't see that Chirul ship that disappeared.
The Grand Marshal's ship loomed closer.
That's not the ship I'm worried about.
Formwexler followed her gaze and spotted the Grand Marshal's ship.
Ah, I see what you mean.
He aimed his vessel in the direction of the Grand Marshal's ship. As Formwexler's ship lurched, Stacy found herself thrown to the ground by the force of the turn.
What are you doing?
Taking you to the Grand Marshal.
What?
You're far too trusting.
Formwexler grinned. Stacy was livid at falling for this betrayal. She quickly pulled out her gun, pointed it at Formwexler's head, and fired.
The Grand Marshal sat behind his desk, and his huge green face smiled as Form Wexler stepped in. Form Wexler walked over and placed the lifeless form of Stacy Platt on his desk. The Grand Marshal shakily got up to inspect the body.
The last human, he breathed.
No more,
Form Wexler replied somberly.
She really should have checked her gun after I handed it to her. She would have noticed I plugged up the barrel. But then, all she was interested in was getting off Solemn Two. By the way, nice touch with sending those fighters after us.
I knew you needed a convincing scenario, he wheezed. The pilots gave their life for the eradication of humankind. There is no greater Chirul cause.
Yeah, you Chirul sure like a good party.
The Grand Marshal made his way over to a computer terminal and ran a pad over Stacy's body.
Definitely human,
he stated as he read his instrument.
I'm wounded,
Form Wexler mocked.
Can you blame me?
The Grand Marshal replied. He placed the pad back on the terminal and started to enter a series of codes into the computer.
Would you expect anything else from someone of your ilk?
Form Wexler winced at the disapproving tone of the Grand Marshal's words.
As promised. The payment for the bounty on this human has been sent to your account.
Form Wexler lifted his arm and read the screen on his bracelet.
So it would seem,
he grinned.
This business venture is over.
The Grand Marshal bowed slightly as Form Wexler exited his office.
The Chirul left the orbit of Solemn Two. Form Wexler sat in his ship's cockpit and waved off all the vessels. He fired up his scanners to ensure they had left, and then he started to walk to the rear of his vessel and open two large steel doors. In the middle of the room stood a vat of bubbling liquid. And inside the vat, the limp form of Stacy Platt floated.
She's still unconscious from her weapon backfiring. Did the bioclone pass?
Yep. The scan you took of her produced the perfect clone. The Grand Marshal is happy that the humans have been wiped out. We're slightly richer from this venture, plus the human here gets to live with us. Well, that is until we meet someone who wants to pay top credits for the last human in the universe, alive or dead. Quite a prize.
One day, Loki, your lies and double-crossing will get you into trouble.
Maybe, but not today. This is Gareth Bowley. I am the author of Last Human. I've written a number of short stories over the years, and primarily short stories that got me into the whole audio drama world. I used to run a Doctor Who miniseries on what was known as fanlib.com, and it was during the ending of David Tennant's season on television. I'd got so psyched up about the series, I wanted to write a number of stories on my own. And I created this series set around the Sixth Doctor. And I produced a short story every week, with the exception of one week. I think there was one week I did actually miss the deadline for. And it was a 13-week saga. And lots of people got interested in it. And that's kind of where my whole start on short story writing came. There was planned for a second series, but it never went any further, unfortunately, as FanLib closed down. And I only got as far as writing the first story for the second series. So Last Human was kind of generated during that time frame, in that I'd written these short stories to try and get into the habit of writing a short story, because I've never been a fan of a short story myself. It's something I've had to sort of get myself into, find a way into, and it was writing the short story that got me into that, because I prefer a story that's much broader, that you get time to sort of get into, whereas the short story, by its very nature, has to get information off incredibly quick, but it's very concise information, which is good for me,
because I tend to be one of these writers who, when he starts going, can waffle a bit more than he should do. I can end up describing somebody's jacket in far more detail than really I ought to be. So that's kind of where the whole short story bit came from, and as I said, Last Human was actually a competition entry that didn't make the cut. But I always thought it was a good story in itself. The origins of the story, a lot of my writing tends to be based on either things in particular that have happened to me recently, or people around me that I know, or they're born out of an image. I tend to draw quite a lot. Sometimes not for any particular reason, I'll just pick up a pencil paper and just doodle a few sketches. And the images themselves may have correlation to something I've got interest in, it may not, it may just be a random image that's in my head. But that image then sticks, and I begin to craft something around that image. Case in point, with Last Human, I did such an image. I just doodled down this, what looked to be a futuristic soldier, laying there on a mountainside, on this ledge, very badly beaten up, clothes in tatters, bloodied and bruised, and at the side of this ledge, there's a sort of smoke-like creature weaving its way over the top of the ledge. And that's what started me thinking, what is it? What is it I'm trying to say about this picture? And essentially, looking at the image itself, there's an individual who's isolated, who's on his own, he's up a mountain. He can't really go anywhere. And that's what generated the idea that that individual, sat on that mountain, is very probably the last human that actually exists. But obviously, there's a question that there's obviously some kind of war that's occurred because of his soldier garb. Why isn't he, therefore, attacking the enemy as a full-blooded soldier would do? And it then kicks in that there's some kind of survival here. There's a hope here that somehow he's going to get back to his human race and everything's going to be nice at the end of it. And then I got to thinking, well, he's not going to do it on his own. And that's when this smoke came in. This smoke kind of looked like it was a creature that was kind of making its way toward him, as if it was going to imbue him with that hope for him to be able to carry on to the end of the story. And I started, therefore, thinking about, if you were isolated on your own in the middle of a war, how would you react to the influences that are around you? You could probably hear explosions in the distance and things like that. And I concocted this idea that potentially you could hallucinate. You could have an apparition appear before you who would suggest that they could help and that this is what you need to do. And that eventually it may lead to your salvation. It may be part of the individual's psyche that's taking them on that journey. Or it could be some kind of enemy trap where it's ultimately leading you to extermination. I wanted to tie this sort of force, this cloud at this point, into some kind of mythological character that kind of based it a bit more in a sort of realm that some people would understand, rather than just being a random ghost-like entity, but making it something that's more appreciative for people that's reading the story. Which is why, now, Ki, obviously in the end of it, is referred to as Loki. Ki's original name, as it's presented throughout the piece, is actually the German for Loki. So there's linking this individual, this entity, as he was at this point, to the fact that it's something tangible that we can understand here at Earth. You know, here we've got someone who, you know, people say the name Loki, it gives the image of a falseness, a pretense, a trickster. That's potentially what the entity could be. And it's left very ambiguous by the end of the piece. Because obviously, Loki does then take this individual, but the Loki takes the army soldier and delivers him to the enemy, but doesn't quite carry through with that. And this ends up not quite at odds with the myth of Loki, but it does raise questions as to what this individual's ultimate goal could potentially be. As it stands in the story at the moment, it's just the kudos of actually knowing he's got on board his ship the last human. For the Chirul, it's for them to have that last human and to actually eradicate them out of the universe. So that's kind of where Key's character sort of becomes informed. In respect of Stacy, as she's ultimately known in the final piece, obviously you'll have noticed already that I've been referring to a male soldier all the way through this, and when it came to the piece, she became female. And there wasn't a hard and fast rule on that. I just found when I was writing the male, being confronted by Ki, he was much more confrontational. As I was writing this short story, and I mentioned earlier that I do tend to ramble when I write, he wouldn't get on with Key when I was writing him. The characters just appeared at loggerheads, and they never made any way. He wasn't sure about Loki. He didn't trust Loki. The same way Key didn't like the soldier, and the two just never, ever got on in the writing. And it's kind of needed, because you have to get the impression in the story that the soldier that's been marooned there is going to make it, which you do in the final version. Stacy being alone, putting her trust into Key, you're given the impression that she is going to make it out of this situation. You know, the Grand Admiral's not going to get hold of her. It's at that point that the ending kind of works for her as well, because she doesn't go to the enemy, and she is still alive. Yes, she's frozen, she's isolated, she's locked away, but ultimately she does get what she needs. So that's where the soldier's gender was switched. That was really it for the actual basis of the story. It is left open-ended, but it does finish off the sort of three protagonists quite well in terms of what they wanted to achieve by the end of the story. And potentially there is scope for another story beyond that. As I said, I like to write these stories where things can continue, where things can go over and be continued elsewhere if need be. And who knows? Maybe we'll find out what happens to Stacy one day. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope you enjoy.
The Chural Grand Master was played by Danner Hoverson, Captain Stacy Platt by Beverly Poole, Key Form Wexler, Gareth Bowley, Ship's Computer, Mike Campbell, also heard was Kimberly Poole. The sound effects are from soundsnap.com, and music, as always, is by Kevin MacLeod. Cover art by Brett Coolstock. The original story, The Last Human, is copyright 2010 to Gareth Bowley. This production is copyright 2011 to Hole with a Rock Around It Productions. Story submissions or comments can be emailed to warpspace@live.com. That's warpdspace@live.com. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Kim.
Having trouble finding affordable fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe, located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
Once upon a time, there were three girls. They lived together in a magic cloud that could travel anywhere imaginable. They ventured far and wide, further than many ever have the chance to go. But they discovered that wherever you might run, the one thing that always follows is yourself.
I just don't get why you have to be so condescending all the time.
All I said was if Dave taught me how to pilot this thing, we could share the work around.
Are you calling me a bad driver?
Given your history, I really don't know where to start with that one.
If you've got a problem, then go and speak to Dave.
I am trying to get us some sleep. Who do I have to quirk to get peace around here?
Quirk?
Don't muck my culture!
Why start on your culture when you have those shoes? You sleep in those?
Nowhere else in creation would a royal princess be treated like this.
You can't be a princess anymore. You died. It passes on.
How dare you? I have the blood of a great dynasty running through my veins.
And bed hair.
The royalty where I come from are inbred and patronizing.
Well, I can see why they choose the inbreed if you're the alternative.
I don't know what you're laughing about. Don't you think if Dave wanted you to fly the cloud, he'd have showed you by now?
Oh, look, here comes Eve's true colours.
What do you expect? I've had nothing but criticism since I joined you lot.
Well, it's not like you haven't got previous.
Oh, does any of this really matter? This constant disruption from the staff is really getting on my nerves.
What?
Did you just call me staff, you jumped up little goblin?
Have you taken a look at yourselves lately? Kyra's the bodyguard, and you're the chauffeur. Backup chauffeur.
And what does that make you? The gonk on the dashboards?
What is a gonk?
Right, just stop. Let's all cool down.
Oh, don't start with the cool-headed leader routine.
Would you rather I just hit you?
I certainly would.
Well, you could do that, but where would that leave us? Dave is busy, and you can't pilot the cloud. Remember?
Oh, someone's getting delusions of usefulness.
I'm the pilot. Deal with it.
Ha! Trustworthy pilot.
Well, if I'm so sketchy, maybe I'll just crash us all into that afterlife over there.
Are you crazy? Stop this right now!
Eve, this isn't funny. Pull up.
Why? I'm not doing anything.
Stop it.
It's not me.
Really? Joke's over.
Do something.
Did we land?
What happened?
What happened? You crashed us!
Someone's here.
Here. Ah,
are not mist. It's a cloud. It's repairing itself. Guess we aren't leaving anytime soon. Hello? Anyone out here?
We should check if she's okay.
I think the evidence suggests she's anything but.
We don't have Dave or Barry. The clouds crashed, and the only person who could fly us out of here just bailed. We're in trouble.
Must be Tuesday.
Look, I think I heard something earlier, before we crashed.
What kind of something?
Another cloud. Just figured I was imagining it, but with the others gone?
Oh, all right, fine. Let's go make nice with Miss Crashy Pants.
Whoa, that's a lot of damage.
This thing's had more action than me. It'll be fine. This repair bill must be disgusting.
Can't see much in all this mist. Look, it'll be quicker if we split up. You go that way, I'll go this way. Report back here in 10 minutes.
Oh, yes, split up. That always turns out well. What's this?
Entrance fee, please.
Has a musty-looking wench with her nose in the air come past here?
Entrance fee, please.
Fee for what? What are you charging me for?
Entrance fee, please.
No. I don't pay for things.
Entrance fee, please.
No!
Thank you. Please enter.
Glad we got that straight.
This has to be the emptiest afterlife we've ever found.
Eve! Is that you?
There goes my peace and quiet.
I've been looking for you.
I've been staying away.
Things got a bit heavy back there. I'm sorry. If you say you didn't crash us...
I didn't.
Then I believe you. We need to get back. Wait for the cloud to fix itself up.
Well... It's not exactly Excitement City out here anyway. Where's Sal?
Out looking for you.
Oh, I'm honored.
Well, she didn't exactly volunteer.
Wouldn't expect her to. She hates me.
Nobody hates you.
But I'm never going to be one of the gang, am I?
Let's go find Sal.
Is this some stupid human thing? Why is it we always end up in their afterlives anyhow? Hello? Anyone there? Hello? I need service. What are these? Controls? Never could resist a good lever. And nothing happens. Well, suppose I'd better get back to Blondie and the cycle. This floor is kind of bouncy.
What's this?
Looks like some kind of fairground. Like Disney, but cheaper.
Right. It's cute.
Hate these places. I always throw up.
Kinda quiet. What do you think, heaven or hell?
Things aren't always that black and white.
You think Sal's in there?
Maybe we should just ask that mummy in the uniform at the turnstiles. Would you listen to me? Mummy in a uniform? Can't believe this is normal for me now. Excuse me. You wouldn't happen to have seen a green midget with an attitude problem go through here?
Entrance fee, please.
Yeah, that's not really helping us.
Maybe he's deaf. I can't see any ears.
Have you seen a green midget at all?
Entrance fee, please.
See, this is why I enjoy traveling with you lot. All the interesting people that we meet.
You know, your bedside manner leaves a lot to be desired. What did you do when your patients disagreed with you? Smother them?
Don't start!
Well, don't you start!
Thank you. Please enter.
Guess it's free entry day. We shouldn't just go swanning in there with no idea what we're walking into.
What do you think Sal would have done?
Damn.
Uh-huh. Not too busy. Mind you, this is possibly the least inviting music ever.
Ugh. Can't see Sal.
Can't see anyone.
What's that?
It's a game stall. They use them to cheat money out of morons. If you're lucky, you win a soft toy worth less than the cost of playing the game.
Why would anyone want to win one of those?
They don't usually have their heads removed like that. Looks like they've been hacked off.
That is so messed up.
I really don't want to be here.
Agreed. We'll find Sal and get back to the cloud.
Hey, Gog Features! You there?
Sal, where are you?
Kaida, I think I saw something over by those trees.
Where? Oh, yeah. Is that someone watching us?
Yeah. Hello? We're looking for our friend. Small, green, annoying. Oi!
Maybe we shouldn't be getting too friendly with the locals. Remember the decapitated bunnies?
Hello? It's okay, you can come out.
He doesn't look happy. In fact, he looks like he's just escaped from a hospital. One of the ones for people who can't get through the day without hacking the heads off soft toys?
Don't be ridiculous. He looks hurt. Hello, are you okay?
Are you real?
Oh, what happened? Oh, right, I fell. Great. Hello? Can anyone hear me? Ugh, trapped in a hole. Oh, a big smelly hole. Wonderful. Hello? Is there someone up there?
Please, you have to help me.
What's wrong?
I can't get out.
Really? Because we just walked in.
I've been here for so long. He won't let me out.
Who? The mummy in the suit?
He keeps asking for an exit fee.
You have to pay to get out.
Crap! I knew that free entry thing was weird.
I've tried offering him money, my watch, everything. He won't accept any of it.
What's your name?
Derek. Please.
It's all right. We'll help you.
Have you seen a small green woman?
Dressed like a tart.
Is that something I'm likely to see?
She's a friend.
Sort of. Ami, by the way. This is Kaida.
And there's someone else wandering around. Alone.
Yeah? Why?
Because I doubt you'll see her again. We need to go.
Slow down there. Why wouldn't we see Sal again?
Same reason I want out of here. There's someone trying to kill me.
Hello? I know there's someone up there. I saw your shadow move across the hall. You better be careful. I'm a very important person. Hello? What's your name?
I'm Edwin. You're very small.
I'm a very important small person. Get me out of here.
Small things are supposed to be cute.
Then I'm a very important cute person.
I hate cute things.
Trying to kill you? Who? Why?
You see us. Over there, the ghost train. I've hidden in the tunnel before.
Ah.
What is it?
I only just got away from him the last time. He caught me with a knife in the arm. He's been chasing me forever. In here.
Keep a lookout. Sit down, Derek. Let me look at your arm. That's a pretty nasty gash.
He got me good this time.
Why is he chasing you? Who is he?
Why does it matter? When you're listening, he's trying to kill me.
All right, we heard you. It's just that people don't often do this kind of thing for no reason.
Yeah, we've had plenty of people attack us, just always for very specific reasons.
I need to get home.
And where's home?
London.
London?
Yeah, so?
Ordinary, normal, living London.
What's that supposed to mean?
He doesn't know he's dead.
Why won't you let me out?
Because I don't like you.
Oh, you don't even know me.
Exactly. You're a stranger. I shouldn't even talk to strangers.
Let me out!
You're safer down there. There's a bad man. Do you know him? Did he send you to get me?
How old are you?
I'm 12.
There's no one with you?
My parents died. It was the bad man.
I'm sorry.
It's all his fault. But I get my own back. All the time.
That sounds nice. Why don't you let me out and tell me all about it?
I can't trust you. You may be working for him, trying to trick me.
I just want to find my friends and go.
Friends? There's more people like you here?
Not quite like me. Taller and skankier.
You're not welcome. None of you.
Calm down. We crashed into this afterlife. Couldn't help it. Let me out and we'll go.
Afterlife? Like heaven?
Or hell? It's hard to tell sometimes.
I don't understand.
It's not that complicated, kiddo. You die, you go somewhere else. Here, in your case. Not the best choice in the world, incidentally.
You think I'm dead?
Well, yes.
You're saying I can't go home?
No.
Because I'm dead?
We all are.
This is ridiculous. I'm not dead.
You don't remember how it happened?
I've been stuck in this fairground for too long. I must be going crazy. God, what if you're not even here? I might be talking to an empty room.
Relax, just tell us how you came here.
I was walking. Some psychopath attacked me. I blacked out, and when I woke up, I was at the fair.
This place must be important somehow. You get the afterlife you expect.
Or you think you deserve.
I can't be dead. I'm going crazy. I just want to go home.
That isn't possible. Either you try to get through the turnstiles and come with us, or stay here. Your choice.
I'm not going anywhere with you. You're as crazy as the psycho running around this place.
We're only trying to help.
Get your hands off me.
Derek, please.
Let me go. You're just as bad as the boy.
Men just keep running away from us.
Damn it. You think we should go after them?
We'd be better off finding Sal and getting out of here. We've got our own problems.
He was hurt.
And just this side of crazy. We can't save every soul we come across. Sometimes people just need to work out their own stuff.
You're not going to get me.
See? Did that sound rational to you? What's that sound?
I think you started up the ghost train.
Is that a problem?
Usually no. But then you're usually in the carriage, not on the track.
I can't see a thing. Is there any way out?
Just that door ahead.
It's the closed one.
Help! Let us out!
What's that sound?
Someone's on the ghost train.
It might be my friends.
They're too close. Too close.
Edwin? Edwin!
Help!
No one's coming, Eve!
We need to do something!
I'll try and climb on.
Ow!
Okay, that's not going to work.
Too high?
Barbed wire.
I hate bandits! Help!
Eve, that isn't going to do any good.
Thank you.
all together, it would save a lot of running around.
Let me out!
Oh, you're my buddy.
Please, let me out.
Please.
What do you want? Just tell me what you want.
Please.
They're trying to kill me.
Please.
You're not going anywhere, Fruit Loop.
Hello? Edwin, are you there? Anyone? Hello? Oh, Quark, this. If I just put my food here... Oh, yuck. This oil is going to ruin my shoes. And my hand here. Ugh. Oh, and pull up. Right. Here we go. Salima Dabar, expert mountaineer. Ugh. 1 foot up. 2 feet up. 1 hand up. 2 hands up. Just like old times. Yeah. That doesn't sound healthy. Okay. Okay. Just one more. Yeah. And I'm out. Ha! Princess 1, smelly hole 0.
Where do you think you're going?
Oh, hello. I was just, stretching my legs.
I don't like stretchy legs.
Oh, well, you know, when you're a bit older, you might find that... Ah! I would have climbed back down if you'd asked, you know?
You stay!
Don't you dare talk to me like that! Little freak. What are you doing up there?
Playing a game.
What's that you've got? Sounds heavy.
You have heavy friends.
What? What have you done, Edwin?
You talk too much.
Ow! Stop throwing stones! Ow!
Bad girls need punished. Will you be good?
Yes, just stop.
You made me. You all made me.
Why are you doing this? I haven't done anything wrong.
You're helping the bad man. He keeps getting away. I don't like that.
What did he do to you?
He messed up everything. Dad left us. They found him hanging in his cell.
In his cell?
Mum got sad after that. The doctor gave her pills. I tried to take care of her, but I left her just that one time. Then she went away too. They all went away. But you won't.
Okay, Spill. What the hell is going on here?
It's the boy. He's trying to kill me.
What boy? Who is this guy?
The son. He thinks it's my fault. What happened?
What did you do?
I worked with his dad. We were business partners. But the company went down the tubes. His father lost it completely.
And the son blames you?
We can't stay here for too long. He'll find me.
You're going nowhere until I find my friends.
Here, read it.
Local man commits suicide.
They seized the assets. We couldn't carry on.
So you sucked as a business partner. How is this your fault?
Exactly. I tried to speak to his mother. I just wanted to explain, but they wouldn't listen. It was his fault, the dad's. I don't have time for people like that.
People like what?
Quitters. Cowards.
He was always ringing our doorbell, phoning during the night, kept wanting to talk to Mum.
Who?
Derek. He used Dad's company, something illegal. Paper said it was money laundering. Dad was the one who told the police.
And they arrested Derek?
No. When the police came, he made it look like my dad's fault. They arrested him and said... He needs to be punished!
Okay. Oh, why don't you let me out and we can do that?
No! You're on his side!
I've never even met him!
He took them both away. I only went out one time. When I came back, Mum had eaten all her pills.
Edwin, just let me out! I can help you!
You don't understand!
Edwin? Edwin!
I know Come and see.
He's got my friends.
It's a trap.
Too bad. We're going.
Get off.
Move.
Right. Time to go before the littlest nut job gets back. Need something to black these gears. Oh, well. I'm sorry, my pretty things, but needs must. Oh, you're not great shoes for running away in anyhow. Come on, stop! Yes! Take that, you oily son of a clack! Now, 1 foot up. Yuck. 2 feet up. Smelly pit. Typical. 1 hand up. 2 hands up.
You really screwed up, Derek.
It is business. You can't blame me for the parents cracking up.
You don't care at all, do you?
What can I do?
The right thing. You've hurt the boy. The least you can do is apologize for the pain you've caused him. Sal? Where have you been?
Don't even think about going there after the day I've had. Hurry up, Eve's in trouble.
Oh, God. You ain't kidding about the green midget.
Would this by any chance be the bad man?
The bad man?
It's what Edwin calls me.
Oh, come on!
You've got her. You don't need me.
Derek?
No. If you want to go running in a trap, that's up to you.
Ow! Hey, get back here!
Forget him! Come on!
Oh, God, what is that smell?
That would be Eve. Every time she goes past, she's sick. Watch where you put your big clumpy feet.
Where is she?
Look up.
Oh, how did she get up there?
Edwin tied her on. He thinks we're working with your bad man.
He's not my bad man. Where's the kid?
I don't know. He ran off. I took that as my cue to get out.
Get out of what?
In here.
These are the controls?
Yes, but Edwin completely wrecked them. And I ruined a beautiful pair of shoes blocking the gears long enough to get out. Which is where you come in.
Me?
Well, your boots.
Ah. Oh, crap. There's nothing else?
You could always use your head.
There. That stopped the mechanism.
Yes, although you might have waited until Eve was a bit closer. She's stuck up on the top of the tracks now.
We'll have to climb up and get her.
You mean you'll have to climb up and get her?
Sal!
Don't Sal me. Look at the size of me. I've already climbed out of a pit twice today.
Sal?
All right. It's high up here. Very high. And wooden. Really quite wooden.
Relax, Sal. There she is. Eve, are you all right?
Oh, you'll have to carry her.
Great. Hope her stomach's empty.
Kyra! Bad man alert!
What? Oh, I thought you were busy looking after yourself.
Do you need any help?
You can help me carry her down, then maybe we can get you out of this place.
I'm not traveling with this slime ball.
Would you rather we just left Eve?
Well...
Don't answer that. We need her to pilot the cloud. And since you're too puny to carry her...
I think you'll find the word is petite. Petite!
Whatever. We need help. What do you say, Derek?
You can really get me out of here.
What's happening?
Oh, the usual.
That bad?
How are you feeling?
Like I'm never going to eat again. Can we leave now?
Yes, can we? Edwin is up to something down there, and I don't like the look of that sky.
What's he doing?
I'll tear it all apart!
It's giving way!
Come on!
Whoa, not that way!
After everything we've been through, I refuse to be sent to the graveyards by a child!
Somebody do something!
Derek!
What can I do?
It's too late. We'll never survive the drop to the ground.
Derek, speak to him. Make it right.
What good will that do?
If I could make up for my mistakes properly, I would.
Derek, please.
I'll try.
It better be quick. There's very little left for us to stand on.
Edmund, can you hear me?
What?
I'm sorry. It all went a bit out of control. They shouldn't have died. It was my fault.
This place was the last place I was happy. Before everything.
I know. Your dad told me you came here. You won a cuddly bunny on the games and rode the roller coaster all afternoon. Edwin, I'm sorry.
It's not enough.
I know it's not.
You need to be punished.
Yes, I do. I want to make it better. I don't need you anymore, Edwin.
Edwin's fading away.
He was never real. It isn't his afterlife. It's Derek's. His own personal hell.
You get what you think you deserve, right? Now I can make it better.
You already have. Come with us and we'll...
I just want the quiet. I just want...
No!
He just jumped. Just like that.
Why did he do that?
It was all he had left.
He could have moved on.
Sometimes there's no moving on. There's just making peace. If there was a way I could do that...
I hate to spoil the debate, but I think the afterlife is wiping. Look, it's fading at the edges.
Let's go.
How exactly?
We'll have to climb down.
Do you see how high we are?
Would you rather wait till it fades away and we're standing on nothing?
We'll do it together.
As a team.
If you say so.
Free, please.
Oh, for God's sake, just let us out.
Thank you.
I still don't get that.
I think I do. Derek couldn't escape because he hadn't accepted the blame for what he did. He was numb. You have to show emotion to get in or out.
And Derek didn't have any to give until the very end.
You know, just once, I'd like to land in a paradise. With men wearing nothing but coiffarkies, wafting me with palms, feeding me grapes. Is that too much to ask?
Coiffarkies?
Yeah, you know. Never mind, it would take too long to explain.
Maybe next time, Sal.
Clyde's that way.
So what do we do now?
Find Dave and Barry, track down Matthew, save the afterlifes.
Simple as that, huh?
For us, walk in the park. Come on, ladies, let's go rescue the boys.
The wolves are hiding.
The wolves are approaching.
The wolves are crouching. The wolves are hiding.
The wolves are hiding.
The wolves are crouching. The wolves are crouching.
The wolves are crouching.
The wolves are crouching.
The wolves are crouching.
The wolves are crouching. The wolves are crouching. The wolves are crouching. The wolves are crouching. The wolves are coming for you in the night. The wolves are coming for you in the night.
The wolves are crouching.
GOSA, the Global Outreach Students Association, offers students the chance to learn about global health and international development while providing students with opportunities for practical experience working within disadvantaged communities both locally and internationally. They also collaborate with other clubs to organize global health-related symposiums and competitions. Executive positions are available. Contact them at ubc.gosa@gmail.com.
CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9 FM.
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 CITR, Voices of UBC.
And you are listening, indeed, to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's all the time that we have tonight for Scalds Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. Please enjoy the rest of your weekend from all of us here.
Rogue Folk Club and BC Entertainment Hall of Fame proudly presents the Special Pioneer Awards in order to celebrate those who represent artistic excellence in British Columbia. This year's